Hey coach, Xenia Wood here, owner and founder of Swift Coaches and Swift Movement Academy. Our vision is to live in a world where health business owners turn their passions into profits and create financial freedom guilt-free. And for all of those exercise and rehab professionals to finally feel confident as fuck in their technical skills, and we never again see another coach leave the industry because of it. What you're about to hear is a bite-sized, jam-packed version of one of our episodes. So if you're looking to learn swiftly, this mini episode is for you. Let's dive straight in.
If someone gets told their glute meat is weak, like what's the thing that you hear that everyone, all the clients are doing, being told from other health professionals or Google searching?
It's got to be the traditional crab walk. Has to be.
That or like a seated clam sort of mini bed. Or something. Yeah, there's a mini some bed involved sort of, for sure. And
get the burn.
Why do we not? It's not our favorite go-to to use a mini band.
Same as what we've been talking about. That's, you know, you use a mini band, you're working more the action of the muscle. You know, with the clam, you're going into more external rotation. With the side lying leg lift, you're going into more abduction, which is, you know, fine if you're working the muscle for working that specific muscle and its action. But when it comes to the stability and the function of the muscle, it's not doing much for it at all.
And the other thing, same with why TheraBands aren't our first choice. I get if you're home gymming it, like it might be the option that you have. But if you've got access to a cable machine, then you can have relatively constant tension. And this gets into a little bit more of the biomechanics, but you know, it's not hard to understand that when you pull a band, the further you pull, the harder it gets. And so it's hardest in your most lengthened position. If you're doing, let's say, hip abduction, probably not going to get to your most lengthened position because the band stops you before that. And so you're in a lengthened. The muscles in the most shortened position. Good pickup. But with that, it's like we know that our muscles are strongest in their mid-range. And so we're forcing them to their end range, whether shortened or lengthened. In this case, shortened, like you said. And that's where it's hardest for our muscles. And you're also adding the most resistance. So it's like a double whammy that's not helping us at all. Whereas when we can use a cable, it's not exact because you have to look at moment arms and it's going to change the more you abduct or things like that. However, if you're, let's say, performing a single leg hip abduction exercise, you know, if you're standing right beside the cable, you know, you hold on with your right arm, your right leg is planted on the floor and the cable ankle braces around your left ankle, and then you abduct away, you're going to get, I don't know, 30 degrees with very, very similar tension on that abduction. But the benefit of that is not only do you train the action on one side, but the other leg is stabilizing. The function versus the action of our core, because most people are like, I want to train my core or get stronger in my core. And it's like, well, what do you mean by that, right? Because we need to articulate the goals of our clients and really understand their definition, because it could be, I want to be leaner. And it's like, well, okay, maybe look at your nutrition first. It's, I want to, you know, like some of our football players, it's like, I feel unstable on my, like, or unsteady. And I feel like someone can knock me and I'm not able to resist that. So let's go through core function versus action.
Yeah. To keep it real simple, you've got the action. Okay. You've got all the muscles of the trunk, is essentially your core. But if we think more, you know, TA, rectus abdominis, internal, external obliques, we've got flexion of the trunk. We've got lateral flexion of the trunk both ways. We've got, rotation of the trunk both ways. And then we've got spinal extension. Right, which not a lot of people categorize as the core, but it is. But if we just acknowledge,
if you're
that
talking
one,
about focus, like, you know, the posterior core, meaning like your erectors and your QL and things like that.
And then we have the function, which everything is always somewhat, you know, a little bit more confusing. Where this is, you just put an anti in front of it, and it's the function. You've got anti extension, you've got anti rotation, and you've got anti lateral flexion, and then we're talking about the function of the core.
So, if we have our core action examples. These ones should be super easy. So the action of our core in terms of flexion is going to come from things like crunches, right? Traditional exercises for our core. Lateral flexion would be things like, I don't know, like ankle taps, or, you know, holding a weight plate. Again, there's some challenges with that in terms of biomechanics, but, you know, you will get a little bit of resisted lateral flexion if we hold the weight in the opposite hand. So we're going against. So let's say I'm holding the weight in my right hand, I'm laterally flexing to my left to crunch against that weight, or even putting a cable pegged right at the very bottom and then resisting that way. Or rotation. So Russian twists or bicycle crunches or whatever. Those are going to be our core actions. Do you want to run us, Dave, through our core functions? So we've got anti-extension, lateral, anti-lateral flexion, and anti-rotation.
Yeah, of course. So for your anti-extension, you've got your plank, or your traditional plank or dead bug type of movement. For your anti-lateral flexion, you've got your side plank. That's probably the easiest to go to for anti-lateral flexion. And then you've got your last one, which is anti-rotation. And that's some sort of Palloff press. They're quite big, you know, cable or banded and things like that. So the function, we're resisting the movement.
If we're talking about now, okay, well, that's just six different things you've given me, action and function, to integrate into a program. Do you program this in terms of I need to fit everything into every program, or do you go like, okay, this person needs to focus on function only or action only, or how are you doing that with our clients at the moment?
Yeah, so it's, again, depends on the client, that lovely depending word. It depends on clients. So I'll admit, you know, a lot of the time you'd always hear about the function or the anti-movements, you know, and just prescribing so much anti-movements. But when you, especially with the population we look at most of the time, you know, a lot of sedentary people, a lot of people who aren't getting much movement, it's like, why are we wanting to, you know, reinforce being stuck in those positions through doing anti or the function of the core, when some, like that's what I've turned to lately as well, is people that aren't moving a lot actually get better results with, you know, low back pain and things like that when we prescribe them more of the action movements of the core. And that's what I've found anecdotally right at the moment with myself and my clients, is that, you know, you get somebody low back pain, okay, oh, we need to strengthen the core in its function, right? Which everybody seems to know when it comes to the shoulder and the hip, not so much, but when it comes to the core, we all know about it because it's your traditional plank holds and things like that. And you give them, I mean, you don't see them getting better, you know, and I understand that that's a variety of factors, but at the end of the day, you start giving them more gentle movements like crunches and things like that, which, you know, for a period of time, I felt started to become a little frowned upon when you were training core. You know, it was like, oh, you're not doing a hold, or you're not doing a stabilizing exercise. Exactly, context dependent, right? You've got those people, but then on the other hand, you might have sports athletes where you do want to train the function, right? You have a 80 kilo rugby player coming up against the, you know, 120 kilo forward. You're going to want them to have a little bit more ability to resist forces, right? So that's where we come into the function and the anti-movements. We want them to, you know, train quite strong positions of those, so they're more robust and resilient on the field. When it comes back to your question about programming, no, I don't believe you need to have them all in at once, because fucking that could be a whole day of just going and training flexion, rotation, that, and then the antis of it. So I don't think so. But what I love is the fact that these are things that can be integrated to other exercises as well, right? Let's take a lunge or a split squat for an example. Hold a heavy ass weight on one side, and you're performing anti-lateral flexion through the whole movement.
Yeah. Before you go today, I wanted to remind you about our business webinar on the 7 biggest game changers that 6X'd my business in 18 months that I am giving for you to jump in live. This is happening on the 17th of August. All the details that you need to register are in the show notes. Click on that now so that you can secure your spot, and see you there. Did you find something valuable in this episode?
If so, I'd like to ask a tiny favor. If you have 30 seconds now, I'd love you to follow or share the podcast. That way, we can continue to bring you more real, raw, and uncensored stories from industry leaders. We also love hearing from you and what you loved about every episode. The best way to reach out is to DM me personally on Instagram @SwiftCoachesAcademy. Until next time, and in whatever you do, move swiftly.